us turn to Gospel of John, chapter 12. And for those of you who know me, you realize it's not really a Christmas message at all, is it? It's a Jesus message. But while Niecy was laid up in the hospital, she came out of surgery, and me and Susan Dolan were the only ones in the waiting room because everybody else was sick. It was a little bit, anybody ever heard of or seen a show called The Walking Dead? I felt like I was walking among the dead. I mean, really. In the early stages, even Kelly, I had to go over and give her stuff and, you know, whatever. And it's like, I'm walking among the dead. But Niecy and I were sharing, even after her surgery, and she was knocked out much of the time, really needing a lot of help just getting up to go to the bathroom and things like that. But she always had the strength to share the word. And though some of this you've heard me share, she was sharing some really good things. And I'm going to communicate part of what she shared and then just part of some things that that I have seen. John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. So these guys are not Jews. Right? These are Greeks. The same came therefore to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And so there is this reality of, and in this case, clearly they had heard about Jesus. Word had spread all over, and apparently not just Israel, because these were Greeks. But there was a large hearing. A large hearing about Jesus and hearing the stories and things like that. And that can be equivalent to just reading the Bible and thinking that we really know the Lord. You know, because you're hearing the stories, same stories they were hearing from other people. But in the case of these Greeks, they were desiring something more than just to hear about Jesus or to know about Jesus. They wanted from something within them, they wanted a genuine encounter with the Lord. And this is the thing, what I just said there, that's the thing that made all of these Bible characters different than, I'll just say it like this, different than most of us. I mean, these guys like Abraham and David and, you know, on and on, Joseph, they had a real encounter with the Lord, so real that it changed their life and it changed history and it changed everything around them. And even the people that didn't like them knew that they had, you know, had some sort of an encounter with the Lord. Joseph being in prison and the king having a dream, and the king doesn't know what it is, and he calls all of his wise guys, I mean wise men, to explain it, and they can't do it. And so some guy says, you know, you got a prisoner. You got a prisoner, you know, that's looked down upon and badly treated and everything. But anyway, he seems to be pretty good at hearing from God. And so he comes up and he tells the Pharaoh his dream, and then he tells him what it means. And he ends up doing that several different times, because Joseph, even in prison, even in bondage, even in limitation, even in lack, even when looked down upon, even when considered a prisoner, is hearing from the Lord, which you can do, by the way, under the worst circumstances. Can I get amen? I knew I'd get it from Joan. Thank you, Joan. But that amen, that's right. We think, oh, I have to be in a perfect environment. I have to, you know, I mean, you know, on at work, or, you know, all everything's crazy or whatever. Or at home, if you've got a bunch of kids and everything's crazy, I can't hear from God. You have to snap out of it, folks. You can have more than hear from God, have an encounter with God. You know. People say, well, how? I mean, how do I know I can have that? Everybody I've met, you know, kind of just hadn't had it or whatever, you know, where's the smoking gun? You know, well, I don't know about that, but I know where the burning bush is, you know. And he had an encounter with the Lord. Moses had an actual real encounter with the Lord that changed the course of his life and the direction, and it changed the lives of millions. In fact, it changed the lives of the whole nation of Israel. And it was real, and it wasn't just true. You know, the Bible says, you know, to know the Lord in spirit and in truth. And a lot of us know the truth, but do we know the spirit of that reality? The spirit of that. And I want to know the Lord. I want to know the Lord. And I want to know the Lord by what I have. I even hate to use the word experience, because then we're looking for experiences. We're not looking for experiences. We're looking for the Lord. But these Greeks had heard a lot of good stuff. Man, they heard good stuff. But then they started seeking a way to know Jesus, to see Jesus, to have that encounter with him. And it's like, okay, here's the information. Now I want the person, you know. They wanted to find him, and so they're going at it in any way, you know, that they know how. Find him. They knew about him. You understand? We know about him. And you know, we've seen so many great things and wonderful things. But is any of it a replacement for him? No, it shouldn't be. We shouldn't be content and with what we know of him. Because our hearts are for him. It's for him. You know, he's not like some guru in the mountains of Tibet that we're climbing up the mountain trying to get to him so we can hear some wisdom. We're just trying to get to him and know that according to the word, if we comprehend that correctly and not according to our mind, because if we comprehend the scripture I'm about to quote according to our mind, then nothing happens. But if we comprehend correctly, then in getting to him, in his face is the knowledge of God. In his face. And there, the result of that seeing, which is what? His face, not the knowledge of God. That the knowledge of God is sort of a result of it. It's seeing his face. Then we are changed into that same image. And then things are changed. But we don't even respect him enough like a guru on the Tibetan, you know, the mountains of Tibet where we climb up and ask for wisdom. We climb up and ask him to fix everything down there, you know. I mean, probably a Tibetan monk or something would say, don't go down there anymore. If you want things fixed, stay up here, meditate. You know what I'm saying? But we don't even get that. You know, we're just, oh, you know. We run and, you know, we call it coming boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, we run into the Holy of Holies, We run into the Holy of Holies like it's a not even a sacred mountain we're climbing to get to the wisdom. It's the guy that's going to fix everything in our earth life. Well, how can he fix anything when the problem's us? Ultimately. Now, I know we all don't know that or fully, you know, I don't know the fullness of that reality. I don't. But I know one thing. When I see him, I will be like him. And Jesus walked among disease, and he walked among everybody around him was wrong in their motives, and everybody was thinking about themselves, and they were not even candles that weren't lit. They were just darkness, if you understand. But he was light. And he didn't walk around going, "Oh, this is horrible. Your people are all ugly." And he just lived for God. He lived unto his Father. Which means if he changed anybody's circumstances, it was others. He never really changed his own. I mean, isn't that an interesting thought to think that when he was down here, he wasn't going, "Oh, Father, you know, they're really, you know, they're after me," or, you know, I'm your son, and these dusty roads, you know, here, or, you know, living in Nazareth, why Nazareth? Why, there could have been a better place. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, you know. But you never hear him trying to work God into fixing his earth life. He came to just lay down his life for us, period. Because that's what he does. It's what he did, but it's also what he does. So how are we going to know if we found him? Well, I was thinking about that. And if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 12. And verse 38. And Caitlin, would you, I know you got your stuff lap full, but would you hand me one of those tissues, please? I'm sorry to. Thank you, ma'am. No, you're not going to get sick from me. It's just that this message is moving me. No, sorry. Still got allergies and nose runs, so that's the least of anyone's problems. Anyway, Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to ask you, what do you think the sign is that they're looking for? Be honest. What is the sign that they're looking for? And I'm not talking about specifically like, Jell-O or something. I mean, just in general, what do you think the sign is? Anybody? Sorry? They want something for themselves. Right? They, you know, give us bread from heaven like Moses. Remember, that was one of the examples, you know. Fix us up. Do, you know, I mean, you know, they were harassing Jesus and all this kind of stuff until he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then they said, "Oh my God, we can actually, with this guy, we can actually live forever. We don't have to die. He can just keep raising us up." So then great multitudes started following after that. You can read the account. Because of what they were going to get out of it. So the next verse in verse 39, Matthew 12. And he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign, there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, or the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." All right, we'll just stop there. There's they're seeking a sign. They're seeking something by which they might know, in their minds, know him. But it is, in this case, to know what he can do for you. Can you save me from hell? Can you heal me? Can you do this and that? And the answer is yes, he can do all that. And he does do all that, and thank God. But that's not knowing him. The example I've often used is there's a man who might be a carpenter, and he's married and got children, and in his carpentry work, he may do incredible things that he builds and tables and certain things and just gorgeous work, handiwork, and just be the meanest husband and dad in the world. Am I right? But people go, oh, you know, I've known people that could sing like a nightingale, you know, sing incredibly. But then once they left the stage and you talked to them, they were just mean. You're kind of going, gee whiz, I thought you were going to be this, you know what I mean? Because that's the way it felt when they're singing. Oh, I wish I could be like them. No, you don't. But you don't know who they are, so quit saying you want to be like them, because that's not being like them. So, the same with Jesus. He's doing all this healing and stuff, but that's not the real basis he wants to be known. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Randy? You don't know everything. Well, guess what? I do. No, not really. I'm joking. That will be pulled out. Sound bite and put up, and I'll be hung for just having a little fun. All right, well, how do I know that? Well, we didn't go on and read it, but you know it when we were reading there in John 12. And, you know, we would see Jesus. And so the disciples went to Jesus and said, hey, there's some Greeks that want to know you. They want to find you. They want to, you know, to really come into contact with you. And Jesus says, Jesus answered is the way the wording is. Jesus answered, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. He answers with the cross. He does. He answers with the cross. You want to know me? Okay, look at a seed that falls into the ground and dies. Look at that. And that is how you're going to know me, instead of just coming up and asking the disciples, you know, show me Jesus. And he goes, that's him over there. Oh, no, that's not really him over there. Wait till you see him at the cross. That's when you're going to really begin to know the Lord. Not just at the cross for what he's done for you, or can do for you, or will do for you. You know, some of the greatest stories of Christians that have lived for God that has impressed you have been stories of people that were in prison or in horrible situations, and they still were with the Lord. Am I right or wrong? That's the thing. You just go, oh, my God. You know what I mean? It's not somebody that, you know, presents are dropping out of heaven and they're this high up to their neck and they're going, you know, and you're just going, oh, you know, now really greedy people might, but... You know, for the most part, what touches you is to see someone stand for the Lord in the, you know, I mean, I love that story of the hiding place and of Corrie Ten Boom, and I never remember her sister's name, Betsy, and Betsy's the one, you know, I mean, I don't know if you know the story, but my God, they're trying to protect Jews and they're not Jews. And then they get caught and they get thrown in the same concentration camp as the Jews. And it's horrible, horrible, horrible. And they are, or she is, Betsy is just like walking through a garden with the Lord. I mean, really, you know, she was with the Lord. And she didn't have to have all that turned away. And she, in fact, she felt like, what a blessing this is that God would put me in a place to help reach his people. Concentration camp. You know, and we talk about Paul and Silas in prison, but this is, you know. And it was real, and she died there. Really, in truth, we don't kind of go, no, she died there. We kind of go, well, that's about the way she was, you know. She was there. And, you know, she had Bible classes in their particular, I was going to say dorm. In their dorm. Bible classes in the dorm, man. In the barracks where they were put. And, you know, it was full of fleas, the only one full of fleas. And, you know, Corey is griping to her sister, oh my God, why didn't God, if God loved us, he wouldn't have us in the barracks. It's got these horrible fleas and it's terrible and things are bad enough, but I have fleas all over us. And Betsy goes, you know what? We are so blessed to be in this one, particularly this one with the fleas, because the guards never come in here, so we can have all of the sharing time we want. And it's wonderful. And thank God bless us. We need to thank the Lord for these fleas. Folks, we're so carnal. Come on. We are. You know, we live by the earth. We say we don't. You know, oh no, I'm one of the few spiritual ones on the planet. I mean, I'm part of New Creation Fellowship. Come on, laugh it up. That is a joke. And you know it and I know it. You know. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it yet, but I had a thought last night that on any of my books from now on, I'm going to put either R.T. Nussbaum or Randy Nussbaum, and then beside it or underneath it in parentheses, infamous. You know, just to ward off a few more people and just only have the people that God wants to read that stuff to read it. And everyone else to go, well, I assume this guy's all bad, you know. They don't even have to get online. You know. I'll help them, you know what I mean? So in this case, he's, you know, the same thing in John. I mean, when they're looking to find Jesus, here they're looking, we want to know you based on, you know, Moses gave, you know, all that kind of stuff. He says, there's only one sign I'm going to give you. One sign. Are you up for it? The sign of the prophet Jonah. And he, in several other places, makes it clear that to him that is the cross. That's what it is, the cross. Well, nobody wants to hear that. Yes, they are. We think, you know, well, we're the only ones, you know, kind of like Elijah. We're the only ones. No, we're not. And we think, I've had people say, well, you know, Brother Randy, and they live off in some other state or something. You know, I really want to share Jesus with people, but people just don't want the Lord. They don't want the cross. Yes, they do. You have to find the ones that are prepared. They do. They really do. They're desperate for Jesus in this way. They're desperate and they're ready. You know, you say, well, the last, you know, 10 I talked to, they weren't interested. Well, we're not talking about them. You don't go, well, you know, a salesman doesn't go to 10 doors and after that go, well, nobody wants my product. That's it. You know what I mean? Well, you're in the wrong business. Well, if you're sharing Jesus and the last 10 rejected what you're sharing and you quit, you're in the wrong business. Maybe you need to try plumbing or something. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why, you know, maybe there's going to be a new influx of women plumbers or something because. All right. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And this is the part that Nephi were sharing with me, and some of you have actually heard me share this before, but I think there's maybe a little more, certainly more fitted into what we're talking about now. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, and this, of course, is Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, the first thing that caught my eye when I read this was they wrapped him in swaddling clothes because there was no room for him at the inn. I guess there might have been sheets and towels and, you know, maybe in the inn that you could have wrapped him in. But how many of you know what swaddling clothes is? You know, it's what you, it's basically mummy clothes. It's what you wrap a dead person in. That's what swaddling clothes are. Yeah, that's what they are. That's exactly what they are. They're just cloths wrapped around them and, you know, like this, and it's what you wrap a dead person in and drop them in the hole there. And, but not only that, you not only find him in death clothes, representing not just the cross, the physical cross, the event of the cross, but representing, because we'll see this, but representing who he is. And then he's laid in a manger, which, as I have shared or put in one of my newsletters or something, a manger is a feeding trough. A feeding trough. So there's two identifiable things about him. One is he's wrapped in death clothes, and the other one, he's food. You know, he's food. You always see in these little nativity scenes too, you know, they put little sheep around it, you know, because if you're going to be his sheep, you're going to feed on him. So here, this just happens. They can't get into the inn. So this sort of looks like it just happens this way, but it's not just happening this way. It is ordered of God, and it is ordered after eternal truth, not just stuff. Well, I don't want to wrap my son in swaddling clothes. And Mary was young. She might have even been a teenager, you know. You know, I don't want to wrap my son, you know. I'm going to wrap him in, you know, my... You know, I was cold, so I brought my mink coat. I mean, if she had one, do you think God would have gone, okay, that's okay. That might even be better. It'll keep him more warm. You see, that's the way we think. That, you know, we need to do something to keep him more warm. And you got to remember, the Lord had already appeared to both Mary and Joseph and said, "This the son you're going to have is the Son of God, and he's going to save his people," and all this kind of stuff. Don't you think that making a long journey in your ninth month on a jackass, going all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, getting there and then dominoing and not being, not God preparing a place. God didn't prepare a place for me, you know, in the inn. He could have made somebody cancel at the last minute or you know, whatever. And probably if it really was the Lord, since we've got this new baby and everything, we should have got the honeymoon suite. You know, well, that's the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, it's the modern day Lord, but it's not the Bible Lord. Look, it's right here. How do I mean, let's just be honest. You know, he's working things according to a divine plan that's not out here outside of him, but it's according to his mind, and it relates to Christ and him crucified, and it relates to presenting his son, and he's not going to depart from that to make everything rosy for us. He's going to go, and if we're ignorant of that plan and that view and that mindset, and we've only been presented with the things that the Greeks heard, we're not going to understand verse 24 when he replies. They say, "We want to see Jesus," and his reply is, "Except a seed fall into the ground and dies." What are you talking about death for? What kind of answer is this? We just want to see you. What's going on here? Come on, do a miracle for us. Do something we came to see. Well, he does miracles and he does all that, but not according to miracles. Right. And not just according to the need either. but according to that which is eternal in his being, according to how, and so, you know, again, show us a sign, you know. If the goal was to win the world, he would have said, okay, you know, I got pretty much the poor and everything with me, but you Pharisees and stuff, you ain't getting it, so guess what? I'll give you a sign. Boom, you know, and all of a sudden, fruit trees pop up, you know, a whole, you know, city full of fruit trees with fruit already on it. Just, is that, will that work for you? And they'd go, oh my God, you must be the Son. No, that's not the Son of God. I don't know how to tell you this. That's something he can do. It's something he might do. But you still don't know who he is. And in fact, that's why a lot of times Jesus, he'd do a miracle or bless somebody or help somebody and says, don't tell anybody. Well, I thought you were trying to get the word out, buddy. You know, I mean, just think, you know, you got your 12 disciples and stuff. I mean, you know, if you're going to get famous, you need to let some people know. You know, or let's put it on a different basis. If you're really going to get the message out, you know, you'll win more. What is it? Yeah, you'll get more flies with honey. Do we really want flies? I mean, we're drawing the wrong thing. Can you? You know, I mean, and that's not even in the word. Yeah. All right, verse 12. So the shepherds are out in the field, and the angels appear to them, and here's the message they got for them. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. It's the second time we've gotten a sign that was meant to be a real sign from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first time was, you know, give us a sign. And Jesus said, okay, but I'm only going to give you one sign. One sign. It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights. He didn't say the sign of the prophet Jonah walked into Nineveh, a huge city. Took him, I forget how long, 3 days journey just to walk through it or whatever. That big. Remember? That big. And he won the whole city. Glory! And everybody goes, yeah! Start jumping up and down. Glory! Yeah! Give us that sign! He goes, no, 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 not that. Because, you know, I'll give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. And they're going, yeah! Oh, boy! He goes, no, no, not that one. He didn't even mention that one. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man. You want to know me? You want to know me through signs? Every sign is going to point to the reality, and that's the cross. That's the crucified. That's the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb of God. So, that's what they say. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe. You want to find Jesus? Can't get amen? They're going, well, how are we going to find him? We're just shepherds out here. We don't have GPS. I mean, what do we do, man? How are we going to get to him? He says, well, here's your sign. It's going to be the only one wrapped in swaddling clothes that's not dead, that lives this way. Self-giving, dead to self, but alive unto God. Come on, you still with me? I know it's getting late, my God. It's 12:20. Anyway, this is my introduction. Just kidding. Although some of you know that sometimes when I say that, I'm not kidding. Yeah. All right, so So that's what the angels say. They say, look, here's the deal. We're going to give you a sign, and this sign is going to help you find him. Anybody getting this outside of just the historical event? But the spiritual implications of that is, do you want to find him? Do you, like the Greeks, but beyond even their understanding, do you want to get past what you've heard and that sort of thing and what other people have experienced? And do you want Jesus? We want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, well, look at me at the cross. It's the only place you're going to get it. And they, even those who are not genuinely seeking him, but seeking him for what he can do, he can't help but point again and again and again. That's the only sign I have for you. We call it the sign of the cross. I was at a thrift store the other day and I saw a rosary there and I took this off of it and I said, that's good. It is... Slapped it on there. And I didn't leave any beads for me to count, but anyway. Sorry, I shouldn't be. I'm not making fun. It's just that I kind of like the cross because the cross, and in fact, where am I writing that in? Oh, I think I'm preparing it for my Gospels class that's coming up. But, you know, when the Arabs started taking over Jerusalem before the crusade started, the Lord gave, who was it, Charlemagne or one of them, a sign and said, in this sign you shall fight. And it was the sign of the cross. So they stuck a cross on the pole, sword in their thing, and they went and they killed everybody. See? Jesus didn't kill everybody. He died for everybody. I know that's hard to understand. You know, we'll just kill off all the Arabs. No, maybe we should die in love for them. But I, you know, that, how do you explain that without having the whole United States rise up against me and say, what? You know, they deserve to die. So did we. I'm just saying. In this sign, Jesus used that same sign, but he didn't use it to kill everybody else. You understand? He used it so he would die for us. And then he did bring us into death so he could bring us into oneness with that spirit and that nature. We go, well, you know, why not just save us? Why make us one with you? Because I don't just want a bunch of saved, I was going to say, raving, saving idiots. You know, or whatever, you know, that we are apart from Jesus. You know what you are apart from Jesus. Is it pretty? No, it's not. It's not. So why save a bunch of that in the first place? Can I get amen? Why save that? Well, you save it to bring it into himself, and that is the saving. You're saved by his life, as it says in Romans 5. And all of a sudden, now you're one with him, and you're not just one with his miracle-working power, though that's wonderful, man. I thank God for it. But you're one with that spirit that is trying to be communicated to us by the sign. By the sign. So, finally, let's go to 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Look at the next word in verse 19. What's the first word of verse 19 in your translation? But... anybody see a contrast between verse 18 and 19? Or verse 17 and 19? Check it out. Gives me an excuse to get a drink. No, I want you to check it out. Because maybe the shepherds heard all of the great stuff. He's going to save Israel and all this stuff. But they didn't see Jesus. They heard a message about Jesus. Anybody following me? They're here. It's coming from angels. Of course, Paul said, if anybody else preached the gospel that he preached, which was Christ and him crucified, if an angel of heaven speak any other message, let him be accursed. Where do you get off saying that, buddy? You're just a man. These are angels. You better watch it. Well, he was absolutely sure that preaching Christ crucified was the only thing that God wanted to communicate ultimately. You know? So, they hear all these wonderful things. And then they go and they check it out. But maybe, and I don't know everything, but maybe they looked and they didn't see the babe in swaddling clothes. Maybe they didn't see him laying in a manger in the meaning of that. They just were applying everything they heard to that little guy, what they were seeing. And they went out and they spread abroad. Oh, you got to hear about this. You know, man, this is where it's happening. And all they that heard it wondered. Well, praise God. This is a great evangelistic effort. I don't know how many shepherds we had, but we have literally turned the masses to just wonder, And that's all we've done. We haven't changed one life. We just got people wondering. Well, I wonder about that. You know, that's sort of the problem with signs and wonders. You know, you see a sign and you wonder. Wow. And we know that's what God wants. No, we don't want you to wonder. We want you to ponder.
Yes.
That's the verse, next verse, 19. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them. Where? In her head. In her heart. And so, this thing unfolds as Mary and Joseph can't find room in the inn. And they wrap their baby in swaddling clothes as if he were dead, as if he were already dead. And they lay him in a manger. And then angels appear out here to a bunch of shepherds and says, you shall find him. You're hearing about him, but do you want to find him? You're hearing stuff, good stuff, great stuff, but have you found him? Not him of what we're speaking, who he is in his being and not just what he's going to do for Israel. And so they come and they find. Yeah, I just love this wording. It sounds so simple, but they find him. They find the babe, but it doesn't say, and they found Jesus. Oh, we found Jesus. It says they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Is that interesting? Lying in a manger. You know, we would go, oh, this is, you know, if we knew his name, this is Jesus. This is the one. This is it. And then we'd get there and all our concepts of what Jesus is to us, we place on what we're looking at. We don't find him, we find all of our concepts. And we say, there he is. Everything I think, there he is. Well, he's more than what you think. He exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in you. Well, that's him. That would make him pretty big, wouldn't it? That he's beyond all of our concepts. And if we, you know, and all of them, including mine, yours, every person. And wouldn't that, if truly comprehended, not be a sermon, but wouldn't that be something that you would have to step back and go, you know what, I am willing to start laying down my concepts to gain the hem of this reality. And let whatever that means, the light of the knowledge of glory, of the glory of God, what is that? Well, that's the knowledge I have, of course, and that's the knowledge you have. That's what we think, you know. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is what I know of him. And, of course, what I know is different than what you know, but you still look at that same scripture and go, it's what I know of him, you know. And then someone else goes, no, it's what I know of him. We compare it and we go, oh, we're all of different denominations. I've told you before, the only denominations I like are hundreds, fifties. Sorry. All right, so it comes down to Mary now, because the shepherds have left. The excitement is gone. They're alone again in an inn. I mean, outside the inn in a barn. And people are they're not, it doesn't even say they got excited, it just said they wondered. Didn't say they come running to the barn. Where's he at? He's in the barn church. They don't even show up. It's like, oh, wow. You know, maybe they only wondered because they're looking at shepherds and going, come on. If God was going to send angels and to lead someone to see the Messiah, it wouldn't be you guys. Maybe the wondering is, I wonder if this is true. You know, I mean, I don't know because nobody acted on it. At least we have no record of it. But Mary, why do you think that word but was put in there? Because it was meant to be a contrast of what went before it. They did this, but Mary pondered those things in her heart. She kept them there. And she's waiting on the Lord. And I won't go into it, but there's, you know, all through this is some great reality of Christ and him crucified. But I'll stop with that. And that is, in all of these cases, God only wants to give one sign. It's always the same. It's Christ crucified. Whether it is identified as a corn of wheat, or it is identified as Jonah in the belly of the whale, or if it is identified as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, it's the same sign over and over and over. He's not going to depart from his view, his mind, the way and the purpose for which he released everything, but everything is not that purpose. Everything is supposed to come to that purpose. That we may know him. And we can say knowing him is in relationship to a corn of wheat. And then know the teachings of that and say, oh, I know that. Or we know, you know, knowing him is like Jonah in the whale. We can say, well, I've studied that and I know that. Well, it's like a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh, well, I know that. But I want to know the him of that. The stories are stopping me.
That's right.
They're, you know, and really it's me, but I'm saying the stories, I'll just say it like that. The stories are keeping me from knowing him because I think I know him based on the stories. And It's just not easy to lay down everything we know. It's just not easy. It's not easy to say, you know, Jesus, I just want to forsake all. No, I'm not talking about CD players and stuff like that. I'm talking about all that I've gained. And here, just consider doing like this. There's an altar before you, and the Lord is before that altar, and you say, Lord, I want to lay everything that I think I know and that I think I have of you on the altar, and whatever is from you that is valuable from this point on, you hand it back to me. And whatever isn't, burn it up. And in the burning, that's where we see the sacrifice offered up, and we'll see Christ crucified. You know, but, this is my second closing. But in our minds, if he gave us back, he goes, okay, well, here, you can keep this. That's it. You know what I mean? And then this fire from heaven falls on everything else and burns it up. There's a possibility. All we're going to see out of that is God doesn't like CD players or something. Or God doesn't want me to have stuff. When in reality, the fire is meant to show us Christ crucified. He's not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to give you something. Would you guys please just pray for me? Because this is for me, you know. I mean, as Niecy and I were sharing, my heart just yearns to get past facts, knowledge, and things. To see him as he is instead of as we have created him. In our theology or in our minds. Amen. Carolyn? Right. Amen. Right. You know. And, you know, I conveyed that thought that I didn't think they really got it, but I totally missed that little portion there that you just pulled out that says it perfectly. I mean, and when they had seen, and the word it there is in parentheses, and then it says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning. And that's what you're saying, but I'm repeating just to say that little phrase. I totally missed that. I mean, I knew from the Lord that was correct, but that just makes it absolutely, positively sure that was what happened. That they still hadn't comprehended the one in swaddling clothes. They put the comprehension of what they heard upon the one. Amen. Yes, Joan.
When you contrast down a little bit further to Simeon Anna, it says at one point that Simeon, and it revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, he had seen the Lord's Christ. when you go out and read about Anna, and the thing that the Lord was showing you this past holiday season is that you can share Christ with people, but they have got to seek Him. They've got to seek this. An individual thing. Each person comes and to the Lord one by one. And we have a heart to pray for our loved ones or for your loved ones that have strayed, but the Lord said, each heart must come to me. Each heart must come to me. And then He comes up, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us, and it's like, these people, and they were old people, and they did not stop seeking the Lord. He just really challenged me. He said, John, you know, you don't retire in the Lord. You don't stop seeking me. Every day that you have breath, that's a new day to be in Christ, growing in Christ, living in Christ, and breathing. There should be a freshness and a fragrance. Not saying, well, I know my family. Yeah, I know. I've had that experience. But you know, really, as you've shared so many times, right? We are pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. And we had that about the sharing of the bread and the crashing. I mean, it is a very, it's the kingdom of heaven stuff with violence. It is a violent thing. You can never rest on your laurels. You can never get complacent or apathetic. And I have just been challenged by the Lord the last 30 days. I've been surviving with this battle. I said, Lord, I don't want to stop. You know, the world talks about people that are obsessed and compulsive. I want to be obsessed and compulsive. Jesus, man, I really want this. I'm desperate. I don't want to say, well, it's good enough. No, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. I want to be radical for Christ, you know. And sometimes radical is not necessarily being an obnoxious, arrogant Christian, but these two people who hit themselves away. That is what the Lord is looking for. Will you be in your home, at work, I mean, in your church, in the congregation of Christ, will you be that? I mean, I'm challenged to divide four. I'm like, wow. Because I'm not just looking for young people to get on five or more. I'm looking for all my people. You know, so I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. But understand the full import of that. Not just, yes, Lord. Or yeah. And then it's an emotional thing. But in the heart. And like Mary.
Apologize to people on Skype that we probably didn't get what y'all all shared, but it's really good. It's really the Lord. I don't know. Maybe someone would just like a little bit of prayer. If you feel that way, we don't have to have music or anything. Just come on up here, and we'll just close with a word of prayer, and I'll be glad to pray for you. Don't hold anybody's hand. Yeah, because then I'll have to come back with another prayer. See, they're starting to shoot machine guns at us. Normally I say, let's squish in here. Why don't y'all scoot around a little more and have a little more separation between. Don't get too close. Amen. Father, we just thank you for what the Holy Spirit is saying and wanting to do in our hearts. And Father, we just want to tell you, we do love Jesus. We love Him, and we want to know Him, and we're so sorry that we maybe have not pursued Him fully the way we should, or not just should, not based on laws, but based on our own heart of what we want, what we desire. And also, Lord, there is so much that we have learned that may be standing in our way. And so we just want to place that up on the altar right now. And we just want to say, Lord, we'll just give you all of that and say whatever has truly, truly been given of you that is beneficial to our growth in the Son, then we ask you to reestablish that, give it back to us. Lord, anything that's like hindering us, Lord, because we're asking right now not just to see Jesus, but to remove hindrances. And we always think hindrances are sin or failures on that front. But Father, I think religion and and our own mindset of what we're looking at when we look at Jesus, instead of seeing through and without those things, just to know him, to see him. So, Father, we ask you as the fire from heaven, the Son of God, the true sacrifices that is seen, that we will see Jesus. And, Father, that we recognize the grain of wheat and Jonah in the belly of the whale and the babe in swaddling clothes. They're all just signs, but they are one sign. They are one, and it's like a signpost pointing directly at you and saying, "No, Christ crucified." Father, I don't even know really what that is, what Christ crucified is. And I'm never going to know it, and we're never going to know it unless you show us. And we're foolish in so many ways, and we're busy, and we think we have stuff. And so we're like children. We're your children, and we ask you to help your children. Help us to grow, and help us to get past our foolish ways and things and insights, and to find you, Father, and to find your Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be gracious unto us by Christ, Father. Be merciful to us by the mercy seat where his blood was shed and where the Lamb sits. And open our hearts, not just our eyes. Open our hearts in a greater way. We ask you at the dawning of a new year, we're not making this the plan or whatever. We're saying you're moving on us right now in this way, and we want to acknowledge it. We want to be with you where you're at instead of trying to get you to be with us where we're at. We love you and we trust you, and we trust that these prayers are not worthless to you, that this was your greatest joy to answer these kind of prayers. So we're going to release faith. We're going to release our faith. We're going to say thank you, because we're going to believe that it's you heard it and you've already released it. Lord, even like in the Bible, that in the book of Daniel, when you sent your message to Daniel and the spirits of darkness fought the messenger for 7 days, and it arrived late or right on time, but nonetheless, it took a while. Lord, we're going to believe that the answer comes the minute you hear and release, not when it arrives and is seen in our life. We're going to have faith. We're going to have faith. Not faith that has to see it at that moment, but faith that says, our faith is in you, that you are faithful and that you are true, that you have heard this prayer, and this prayer has made glad your heart, and the fulfilling of the prayer will make it even more glad. So we thank you. We just say thank you then. We can rest in you. We don't have to strive for it. We can really believe that you're a good Father, and if we ask for so-and-so, would you give us a scorpion or a stone? No. You give to us the very things that you had in your heart to give to us when we ask. So we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love that you never swerve from your mission to reveal Christ in us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, also just pray for those on Skype. I know they couldn't stand up here, so they're included in this prayers. We don't forget them, and you don't forget them. You're right there with them. So, Lord, minister to them. And Lord, there are needs here, not just with us who have come forward, but even those who are still seated and those that are on Skype and those that can't be here because of sickness or because of injury. Lord, we don't always know how to pray, but we always know that you are love. God, you are love. And so we ask you to minister to their needs according to your heart and your wisdom and your plan. Take care of them, Father. We're asking this. We're asking you to take care of them, to cover them, to... Lord, there are some that do need healing. There are some, Lord, that do need a touch. There are some that need, that have needs that we're unaware of, but you're not. Lord, we stand in the gap for them. We stand in the gap for them. And Lord, those that are young in the faith, Lord, that are as a child would ask for money to go somewhere or something, Father. We don't expect them to be grown up. We ask you to meet their needs where they're at until the day that you've brought them more fully into your face and to see it. Take care of them. Take care of them. So we love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're dismissed, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, if the Lord puts it on your heart, of course, and you have an